And so we're saying, okay, I'm good enough. That's kind of an arrogant response. A lack of repentance. Paul said in Acts 20, verse 21, I referred to it already, repent toward God. The response of belief results in humility. We learned that a few weeks ago. In fact, that was one of the things in my notes a few weeks ago when Pastor Brock was talking about this. Response of belief results in humility. I have nothing, remember, as he was defining the attitude, I have nothing. We can no longer act as if our sin is okay. Repentance is an expectation of belief. That was one of the statements that I heard and wrote down. Repentance is an expectation of belief. The Apostle Paul is referring to repentance. He also referred to faith in our Lord Jesus. Relying on Jesus to fulfill what God unwaveringly expects of us. Relying on Jesus' payment alone for the shortcomings and the wrongdoings that are part of our life and experience, even our attitudes. We tend to excuse those, expecting that it's okay. But faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is relying on the death of Jesus for our sins and the resurrection of Jesus for the life that he gives. So how do people respond to this truth, the good news of salvation? Well, if they do not believe it, they will often have, I almost said always, but I've not known it differently, but there's often an arrogant response. They don't believe the gospel. They either expect too much of their own intentions and exaggerate their own goodness while expecting God to change who he is to accommodate our altered expectations. Based upon our desires or our preferences, we demand that God expects something other than what he has told us he does. And we elevate our own expectations of our intentions or our goodness to a point where it is elevated above anything that could condemn us. It's an arrogant response. If they do believe it, the gospel, they rely on Jesus Christ's death to pay for their shortcomings and their wrongdoings. They repent of them and humbly receive the benefits of Jesus' sacrifice instead of simply trusting themselves. So the disciples asked, Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus is about to say, you're thinking too small. Your expectations have to do with your own patriotism, not with God's plan. Your own circumstances, your own desires, your own expectations, instead of what God has in store. Because it's not just Israel. You are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, the heart of Judaism, and to Samaria. Oh, whoops. They didn't like that. These were half-breeds. They were rejected. These are the ones that never fit. They didn't fit they really didn't fit into all of the pagan Gentile nations. And they didn't fit into Judaism because like the woman at the well. Sychar was a city in Samaria. She came to the well. Jesus had this conversation with her. And it quickly came to the point of the difference between the Jews and the Samaritans as to where do you worship God. And then Jesus said, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, location was one of her problems. The time issue was the disciples' problems. Is it this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were actually looking for that. There was a lot of prophecy about that. There was a huge expectation for that. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the time, but you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you're going to be my witnesses. Yeah, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth. I can just almost hear, well, hey, I didn't expect that. Don't worry about the time. Concern yourself with the power and the commission that he's given. Now, they actually took this to heart. Because in the rest of chapter 1, they go to Old Testament scripture prophecies about replacing Judas with another witness. And so they go through the whole process of fulfilling that Old Testament prophecy, and they go through the process of choosing someone who will be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus. An apostolic kind of responsibility. And so they, through the process, as they continued to pray and as they waited on the Lord, and then they cast lots, and the lot fell on a man named Matthias. So he became that 12th apostle. To give testimony, to give witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Imagine. Imagine that you were going to do something in which you could never fail. Would you do it? Had a pastor friend who was involved in some business, and he asked that question. If you could do something in which you could not fail, would you do it? Well, of course, he was looking for a particular answer. He had an expectation that I fulfilled it. I said, sure. Sure, I'd do that. If you can't fail, and it's not a bad thing, sure, I'd do that. What if you were to do something and it was God's power that actually accomplished it? Would you do it? Sure. Really? Well, Jonah was being sent to the citadel of their greatest enemy, the Assyrians, the capital of Nineveh. He didn't want those enemies to live. I mean, they were mortal enemies. He'd just soon have them die. He didn't want to do that. And yet he was told to go proclaim, the judgment is coming. So he expected an arrogant response, probably. Hoped for an arrogant response, maybe. Likely. In fact, it's pretty well declared that he was hoping that they would respond arrogantly and say, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm good enough. I'm good enough. They're good enough. The idea of crucifixion originated there, and the Romans kept improving on it. Yeah, we're not doing bad things. I'm good enough. Well, Jonah was thrust into that situation. He expected and hoped that they would respond arrogantly so that the judgment of the Lord would come upon them. Well, actually, how is our commission in this passage different than the one that Jonah received or the disciples received? Power is going to come. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to be there. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. The ability to accomplish. Dunamis. It's dynamite. Comes from that word. You're going to receive power. And you're going to be my witnesses. Now, just to be clear, a witness is somebody who tells what they saw or heard or their own participation in something. I was called to be a witness a couple of times. And one time, I was an EMT on a call, a particular call, and a lawsuit was being made against our squad. And I had to be—I happened to be a captain at that time, so I was answerable to all of these to the allegations. And I completely forgot about this particular call because it was like two years before the actual case came up. And I was called to witness in this case. It's a good thing we kept records. The Narcissus Forum, we had it all filled out and everything, and I could go back so I was preparing myself for this. And I got the summons on a Thursday, and Monday was going to be the court date, and so I was studying. I was trying to learn all of the, and I probably could have had all those materials with me, of course, but I wanted to know this, and I was giving a testimony of my own experience because I was there. I was on that form, and I hardly remembered it at all. I did remember part of it, and it was kind of ridiculous. But as a captain of the squad, I needed to know the protocols that we operated with too. So I needed to know the protocols and be up to date on those. And then I also needed to be up to date on what that Narcissus form had about the report of the whole situation. And I was preparing myself to tell my role in what happened in this particular situation. And about an hour before I was to appear, I got a phone call and said, it's been settled. And my first reaction, oh, good. Then I thought, well, this would have really been an interesting experience. had I given this, had I appeared in court to talk about this. But I learned our protocols. I learned what happened in this situation, and that's what a witness does. Describes his role and how things happened in this situation. Well, that's kind of what we do, isn't it? We tell our own role. We tell our own witness what we saw and heard. And John, as he's writing in 1 John, and right those first few verses in the book of 1 John, John is expressing, these are the things that we have seen and heard and our hands have handled of the word of life. These are the things that we actually have hands-on experience with. And that's what it's talking about in the passage. Witnesses. But we are not witnesses without any abilities. Because the abilities of God are made available through our own experience and the witness that we give. And this is really close to me, my heart, because, well, this is the basis for encouraging people to write their testimony down and to give their testimony, even put it on a video. Because then it can actually go to every place nowadays that Jesus mentions in the verse. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth. I got a message on Facebook yesterday. It's a friend that from Nebraska that he received Jesus about the time when he was in high school, and from a broken home and things, and it just seemed like, well, this is kind of a wasted life almost until he received Jesus, and then things changed. He is a helicopter mechanic, and he serves a company that goes to Papua New Guinea on a regular basis. So he goes down for a month or so, and then he comes back for 3 or 4 weeks, and then he goes back down to working with his company. And he decided that he'd take some Bibles down. And in his trips, he takes Bibles down that he collects, and then he gives them to people in Papua New Guinea. And this is a witness that he gave, he sent me. And we're in the middle of the conversation. Yes, it's good. Yes, I've been down here. I asked him if he'd been down there recently. It's been an amazing few months. So I have told you about me bringing Bibles over to Papua New Guinea. I've told you about numerous testimonies that I have witnessed and God has shown me. I've also told about the penny testimony that I had a couple of months ago that he was able to share. Calls it a penny testimony. It's just a brief witness as to what God has done. Well, it got better. So my pastor at the church in Omaha we go to got word that what I was doing in Papua New Guinea and how I was bringing Bibles in and how just share the word to those around me while I'm in Papua New Guinea. We got together while I was home last month, and he said that he would like to support me by buying the Bibles and helping me take them to Papua New Guinea. Normally, I bring about 10 Bibles each tour. However, this time he bought 40 of them, and then another guy heard about it and purchased another 10. So I now have 50 Bibles to take to Papua New Guinea. Also, he asked me to start writing out testimonies while I'm in Papua New Guinea so that way we could share them with the congregation. Absolutely amazing. Never thought this would happen. It just goes to show that when you put your faith in the Lord and let him guide you, he will bless you abundantly. The next thing I have envisioned was MP3 players with the Bible and worship music on them. Would like to hand them out as well. That's the application of the gospel taking root in somebody that in our little town, he was almost a throwaway. And yet he came to know Jesus. And as a mechanic, the Lord sent him to Papua New Guinea and put Bibles under his arm to give to people. And he's seeing people coming to Christ in Papua New Guinea because of that simple little obedience. And now it's growing. I think that's what God does. I think that's normal for God to facilitate those kinds of stories in our own lives and in all the lives of the people around us, in our fellowship as well as in as individuals. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, Jesus said, and you're going to be my witnesses. But I didn't expect that. That's not exactly what I expected when I was writing how my life was going to be. Well, Jesus does interrupt things. And he changes our perspective from being, this is what I want, to this is what God does. What God does is always better. I guess what I want us to see, the kingdom of God is what he is building. And he has put his Holy Spirit in us to allow us to participate actively. We all have, those of us who have received Jesus as Savior, we have an account, a testimony, a witness of what God has done in us as individuals. I think that's our responsibility. But it's also a great pleasure. Well, that's what I wanted to say. The application then is, what are we going to do? The disciples were able to, they appointed a replacement for Judas, but it wasn't until chapter 2, when Pentecost had fully arrived, that the Holy Spirit infused them with power. And it changed not only them, but the whole world. I think that should happen now. Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, I thank you for the work that you do. Only you can do it. Father, would you work in our own lives and just remind us of the reason why we're here so as to accomplish this mission with the power that you have infused in us, that lives in us, to bring us to Jesus and then to put your Holy Spirit in us so that this great task can be achieved. We give you glory for it. And we offer our obedience to accomplish it. In the name of Jesus, amen.